3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Loose Ends Podcast, episode 6. We are still going. We're still going strong, stronger than ever. And I am joined here again with Spencer.
What's good? How's everyone doing?
It's been a week. We just came off of spring break, which is essentially, it's that break. And once you come out of it, you realize how much you want summer to start. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, me too. It's hard to go from chilling, waking up whenever you want in the day, doing literally whatever you want, to having to wake up early, go to school, homework, tests. It's hard to just get thrown right back into it again.
But you know what? We're okay. I have a Red Bull in front of me. I was tired earlier, but I'm feeling good. We're ready for another episode. So how's your week been so far?
It's been pretty good. First day back was actually pretty good. I had a super short day. I got out at like 12-ish because I don't have a 4th or 8th. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to just kind of like, I lightly got eased into the school life again. So, but how was your day?
I'm happy that we did not start off, on Monday. So yesterday was Monday, April 1st. And I think we had that day off because it's Cesar Chavez Day. Do you think that's why we had it? Or is it just the day after Easter?
I think we were doing it more as the day after Easter, just like get back from your vacations or rest up from a lot of family activities. I don't know, but I think it was mostly Easter.
I feel like sometimes when you go from Sunday, Easter, and Monday school, you get thrown for a loop. Like you get thrown right into it. That's why a lot of public schools actually, they give 2 weeks for spring break. Now, a lot of public schools are now transforming and now they're moving away from aligning breaks up with Christian holidays. Like, for example, I know of a public school system in LA, which they start their winter break off December 23rd, which is literally like right before Christmas. Like, you don't get to enjoy the Christmas season that much. But then again, they go the entire week after January starts. They have another week in the new year. So that's, you know, I guess that's pretty nice. But yeah, no, I'm not sure how it relates to Easter and spring break nowadays. I'm pretty sure spring break now comes before Easter, which is, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Like we need to take it back to our roots and start putting emphasis on the Christian holidays, but not in the way that we focused on Easter as if the Easter bunny, Easter egg hunts, or Christmas as if presents and Santa. We need to take it back to the Christian roots and put emphasis on why we have these events and these holidays in the first place.
Yeah, kind of adding to that, what you just said is, like, it's super easy just roll into the motions and just, like, have your focus of that holiday be all about the eggs, the chocolate, the candy, and, like, all that kind of stuff. But it's super good to realize the meaning of the season, too. Like, the true meaning that he has risen, and that, like, without that, I heard a pastor speak about this actually on Easter. He was like, Christ can just be this amazing person, live one of the best perfect lives as a human, but if he didn't die and get resurrected, there would be no religion. Mm-hmm. There would be no true mm-hmm. hope through that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No, just you said it perfectly. And it's probably one of the best teachings because we have one of the best pastors you could ever ask for. Shout out to Dr. David Jeremiah. But anyways. No, I completely agree. And we need to look at the root, as I said before. We need to figure out why we celebrate this holiday. You said that Jesus Christ's life matters because of the resurrection. And that is so true. That is the reason we remember Jesus today. Without the resurrection, the disciples would not have died and laid down their lives as martyrs for the faith. And they would not have gone throughout other countries and spread the word. Because they, after Jesus Christ reascended into heaven after being on earth for 30 days,
yeah,
they spread out throughout, you know, the world. They all went to different countries and they grew the faith. When the Christian church was super, super young, we saw some of the bravest leaders of the faith and the bravest martyrs, because at that time, the Roman Empire, which was the dominant force in the world, was killing Christians. They saw this new faith as a threat before it was adopted as their, you know, empire, as the empire's faith. And so, you know, we saw these Christians being put into coliseums to be killed by lions, and
yeah,
you know, everybody witnessed it, and their deaths were being cheered on. And so we need to really remember what the resurrection caused and what the resurrection set off as it relates to the entire Christian faith and the bravery that Christians have. The resurrection created the Christian spirit, which does not die.
Yeah, something cool that he said too was Christianity isn't really a religion, it's more of a relationship with God, right, too. So it's cool how he said it, because it's like the whole community and society looks at it as a religion. I mean, it basically is a little bit, but we as people made it a religion.
Mm-hmm.
When it's really, it's one-on-one with God. It's a relationship with him. Like, you can't, like, go out and not talk to him without, like, reading your Bible and that kind of stuff, because a lot of people look at the, like, God's not doing anything in my life, but if you're not opening your Bible, because mm-hmm. he's speaking to you through that.
Right.
It's super easy to just to, like, complain and, like, say, he's not talking to me, I'm praying to him to not speak to me, or for him to speak to me, but you just got to open your Bible and you just got to, like, accept all that wisdom, too.
A lot of people got to realize, once you grow your relationship with Christ, you understand how God works more. And in the moments where God's maybe not around and you're not hearing from him as much, you understand that God is still present. He still has your hand over your life, and he's guiding you in the right steps, and he speaks to you not in the ways that you'd want. Sometimes we can pray, God, I want to hear you. Give me a dream. Speak to me.
Yeah.
When we can forget, if we're just focused on more shallow parts of our faith without that real relationship growth, how God actually operates.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you told me a great analogy that relates to people with a relationship with God understanding how he works in times that he's not really hearing him.
And Yeah, I can kind of talk about that. It was an analogy, and I heard teachers are quiet during a test. So if you're wondering where God is in times of struggles, he is testing to see how you overcome that obstacle. So it's kind of cool to, like,
right,
it just shows you how, like, when you're a teacher, you give them the wisdom, which is the word,
mm-hmm.
and let them accept it and go over it and get wisdom from it. But then you apply it in those times of struggles.
Right.
Which is really cool to, like, it kind of got me, like, thinking, because it's, like, normally in church and that kind of stuff, you hear all the same analogies in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing that from, like, a more personal level, it was kind of cool to hear in a different, like, side of it.
It's really those sink or swim situations. God is there because he's not capable of not being there. He will always be there. He's omnipresent. He's omnibenevolent. He's all-powerful. He's all-just. He's everywhere. And so we kind of have a tendency to forget that. But when we really pray, and we pray and we focus on prayer and not just praying to get done and not just checking off the boxes. Like, I've heard of an acronym for prayer, and I was told this, and this is how we should pray.
Yeah.
We should structure it like this. We should structure it with the word tacos. T-A-C-O-S, spelled how tacos is spelled. T is thanking God. Thank God for all he's done. A is that you admire him, okay? C is you confess. O stands for prayer for others. And then very last, S stands for you pray for yourself, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's great because it can teach people really how to pray. But my problem is it kind of forces people sometimes to start thinking of it as a list to check off.
Yeah, that's hard.
When prayer needs to come from the heart, you need to really be having a conversation with God. You need to figure out what you're doing when you're praying your best. Maybe it could be literally you just sing songs in your heart. But people need to really, in their faith, think about what they're doing while they pray and their day afterwards and how their life is changing because of it. Because prayer really, really sets you off for either success or kind of like being dead in still waters.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's super easy to just go through the motions and, like, day to day just pray and, like it's super easy. It's just like, he's just, like, there. It's hard to, like, understand how it is too, because, like, we can't see him physically.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's hard for us to, like, sometimes apply him to our life.
We're big seers as
yeah.
The way we believe is if we see something, then we'll believe it.
Yeah. And it's just, like, it's hard for us to, like, believe it when we can't fully see it. But it's also hard to pray sometimes because it's, like, you had a rough day or, like, you've not been doing well in, like, certain aspects. It's just super easy to kind of push him away when instead we should embrace him in, the like, in our times of struggles, too.
Now is when we need to embrace God more than ever, we're starting to witness the decline of people. And this really started ramping up around COVID. This is when things, a lot of people started taking a turn for the worse. And this has created very strong Christians, very great people have come out of this. A lot of good has been created from this, from the darkness that kind of engulfed the entire world for a short amount of time. And the truth is, kids have shorter attention spans. We're getting lazier as a generation. We are putting less emphasis and worry about our future. We could be dead in our spiritual lives, and we're not seeking what's beyond death. We're not really thinking about it. We're just thinking about whatever dopamine-producing thing is in front of us. So we're becoming like flat, two-dimensional characters without any depth to us. We're not really searching for our God-given purpose because we're running from God. We're running towards whatever we're told. And, you know, critical thinking has gone down also a lot. As a generation of young, now we're about to become young adults.
Yeah.
We are almost forfeiting what we are created to do as Americans, and that is to create something good for the world and to innovate. And at the beginning of this country, when it was founded, we were all searching and we were doing what God had put us on this earth to be, and we are forgetting what we've come from. So now more than ever, we need God to reignite the flame which got this country at the point it is now. At this point, we are the most powerful, most dominant country in the world because of Christianity. We're going to lose that soon if we don't, you know, if we don't solve this humongous problem.
Yeah, something adding to that is I saw a video. And this guy was talking about the younger generation of like leaders and just like all around, like they've seen what's happening above them. They've seen what's happening in the millennials and like all this corrupt, like all this like transgender and all this other kind of stuff. And they're seeing that and they're realizing, I don't want that to happen with my generation. I mean, it still is, but I don't want it to overcome and like take over our generation. So they're kind of changing their mindset from like just kind of being flat, like you were saying, but they changed into like wanting to make a difference too, which I think will help in the future too.
Right. We need more people in the world to make a difference. We need the right people to be brought up. We need pastors that are teaching the real Bible.
Yeah.
The generation of amazing pastors, which is getting very, very old now, you know, we had this kind of like grew up at a time where they witnessed the transformation from this cultural revolution where, you know, people were experiencing now with drugs, you know, there was an AIDS crisis in the 80s. These pastors witnessed it and they've witnessed the transition of a society. So they understand how much Christianity holds a nation together and how it can decay over a long period of time. Now, we need pastors to come in and help be a part of the solution. We have pastors now that are some of the most famous ones in the world, and they're preaching a false doctrine. And the reason they're the most famous, their churches are the most packed, is because they are big tent. Yeah. They want everybody to come. So they are going to a lot of time avoid having the tough conversations. They're going to avoid hitting them at where it's effective. They're going to avoid saying things like, you're a sinner. They're going to avoid preaching the message of Jesus Christ because they don't want it to offend people. There is one pastor who I've just become aware of, and his name is Mike Todd, and he's preaching a false doctrine. He's afraid to go in and discuss and state why transgenderism and the LGBTQ is a sin. He's afraid to condemn it.
Yeah.
He's teaching a false doctrine. He stated today, and I saw this in a video. I was watching him in one of his sermons. He literally said, on the subject of God creating two genders, he said, well, you know, God kind of created this the way it is, but if I was there, maybe I would have told him to change his mind. Like, I wish I was there because I would have told him he's wrong. I want you all to look up Mike Todd and his opinion and stance on the LGBTQ community because you need to watch this for yourself. And it's appalling.
Yeah. Kind of adding to that, what you're talking about is it's super easy to fall into lies, too. Like, the devil is very good at, like, his job, technically, where he's just like you're on Instagram and stuff. There's, like, people that sounds like it's, like, Christianity, sounds like all this, like, stuff about God, but when it's, like, fake, too. Like, he's super good at, like, all these good things about like God and what he like stands for, but it's like behind it, it's like someone faking it. Someone like saying all these right. lies to like get us like, oh, well, I'm doing that, but I guess it's okay because this video says it's okay.
Right.
So it's like, it's super easy to fall into like listening to the lies, because us as Christians just need to stand strong and like stay in the word, because that's the best thing that we know will never lie to us.
Yeah. People don't realize the devil is not anti Jesus was a good person. The devil will lie in ways that he knows he can get you. He knows all of us sometimes better than we know ourselves.
Yeah.
So he's going to formulate his lies and his temptations and the way he gets us differently based off of who we are.
Yeah.
Where our weaknesses are, because we all have them. And so it might even be, if he can keep you away from Jesus Christ as the Son of God and he's died for our sins, he might have to use the lie that Jesus was a great person.
Yeah.
He might use a lie like Jesus did some of the stuff he said he did. Like, the devil is going to say the lie he needs to. And in some cases, it's Jesus never existed.
Yeah.
Because he knows that those people most likely, once they realize Jesus existed, will become Christians. Right? It's whatever way he can get you off of the path to heaven and to salvation, he's going to do it.
Yeah. That's also why it's such a blessing to be in a community of Christians mm-hmm. too. Like, it's super good to be in a tight woven group of people that have one true mindset or one true focus, and that is God. Because mm-hmm. if you are together in a group, it's way easier to stand firm in your faith and listen to the truth than instead if you're alone. Because if you're alone, that's when the devil is the strongest against mm-hmm. you. When you like face temptations alone, that's when you will normally get like taken and you will like fall. That's right. Why it's also a big thing to be in a church community, like be plugged into a church mm-hmm. and like focus on a church too. Like, I understand jumping around church to church, but like once you find a good group, I say you stick with it and fully plug into that group, because they truly care for you.
I mean, there's the teaching, and that is the moment you're told to do something by God and the moment you do it is, and then the moment in between you being told something and doing it is the devil's time. So in between somebody putting it on your heart, God putting it on your heart to join a church, and you not doing that, you can go down some wrong avenues and the wrong people can come into your life, truthfully. And a big thing is as Christians, hold each other accountable. Call each other out on their sin, but not their person. Like, a big way that we turn people off as Christians is because of our gossip. We will talk down on somebody because of their sins, because of things that they've done. And a lot of people interpret that as just straight up gossip. And when you hear people gossiping, a lot of times you get turned off from being around them as a person.
Yeah.
You don't want to be associated with people that gossip.
Yeah, the best thing with being around those good people too, your true friends are the ones that call you out on your stuff too, because they realize that they've gone through that and they want someone to call them out too mm-hmm. when they're struggling. Because it's super easy just like fall into the world and do the same things that everyone's doing. But if someone calls you out on it and it's like a friend that's close to you, mm-hmm. that will kind of open your eyes and be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should fully change my road that I'm walking on and that kind of stuff.
I tell you what, to all you listeners out there, we all know this. The world is hurting. I saw over the news, if you have to live under a rock right now to not know about the police officer in New York that was just murdered and the funeral that was held for him in New York, and just it seems like these events are happening more and more with time, and even more unfortunate and heartbreaking story of an 11-year-old boy who was killed, stabbed by his mother's old ex-boyfriend after he was released from jail in 24 hours. Just things like that. He broken into his own home and he was killed. So we are hurting as a society. We are hurting as a world. And the only solution, I say, is Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy how heartbreaking 9/11 was. I'm kind of just adding to what you said with heartbreak. How tragic and how terrible that was, mm-hmm. how close it brought us as a community. Mm-hmm. I know this was a little bit before our time,
right?
But I've seen videos, I've heard it from people's stories and all this stuff. It's crazy how close people got together, mm-hmm. how close that we like got, like had lunches with other people that you wouldn't normally be with, and just like I mean, that was a terrible example, but like,
no, it was like, a good example.
No, like they just got like really close with their community and their neighbors, and like I feel like there was a lot of more peace in like it gets very political when people are like going back and forth trying to get the election spot or be elected, but like we don't really sit back and like think about them as a person too sometimes. Like I feel like that helped us as a community just like open our eyes and like see that like everyone matters. It helped like put the people being selfish, it put them away, and it helped like people just like knit closely together.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time once in the United States where everybody looked the same. Like, you can tell everybody, we were Americans. You knew we all kind of lived the same daily life. We had the 9-to-5, but do you think that if another 9/11 event happened today, it would have the same result and that people would be united again? Because I honestly feel like we have such different lifestyles from the left politically to the right that I feel like an event like this would be the final hit that just puts us in the ground.
Yeah, it's hard to say because, like, I mean, we didn't live through that, so we don't fully have a full understanding of what happened and all this kind of stuff. But I feel like there is a really good chance that it could do the same thing, but maybe not as strong, or like it could lead to destruction, kind of like what you were hinting to. Because I feel like that could initially like really help our community also.
Right. I honestly thought for a second there that the Palestinian invasion and Hamas taking all those hostages out of Israel, that situation, that horrible atrocity, would have had the same result in our, and that would have been our version of a uniting event like 9/11. As as terrible as the event was and how much of a tragedy, I thought that this would have an event that we would be able to unite about this. But if anything, it has given anybody with a heart a sign that some people out there may be beyond saving. That sounds terrible to say. That sounds like a gray pill that I'm saying. That sounds super depressing, but
yeah,
it honestly hurts me so badly to see kids on college campuses have gone so far to the left and have been so brainwashed by institutions and education that they're becoming anti-Semitic. It shows that we are not so far away from Nazi Germany. We cannot think of ourselves as that intelligent or that much as that much safer than they were. It can happen to anybody. Anybody can be brainwashed to that ability. Now, history may repeat itself, and I hope that we do not have the same that we do not end up the same way and becoming so evil and brainwashed that we start hating a group of people like that again.
Yeah, it's crazy how like you're kind of saying it, but like how far we've gotten and how like brainwashed we get from like the news and like all these big things. And then it's also like we get numb to that too. Mm-hmm. So like this, like the Israel invasion and all this stuff, people got like kind of like brainwashed. It's kind of like they just brushed it off. Like, oh, it doesn't have to deal with me. It doesn't like mess up my work, my routines, any of that kind of stuff. So that's kind of why it, like, I think it's a little bit different than 9/11 because that was in America. So I want to say like, if it was maybe in America, it maybe would have changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why people just brush it off, because it's like, that doesn't deal with me. I don't have to like do anything because of that.
Right. I mean, like you said, the news has divided the United States so much. The truth is, this is not a conspiracy. This is obvious. We can all agree on this. The news's job is to pump out whatever headline, article, or story is going to get them the most views. They want to be number one. They want to be the most watched network in the United States, whichever one it is. Whichever newspaper it is, they want the most subscribers. Whichever news station is, they want the most numbers. So they are going to put out stories that are going to get people's attention. And nobody else is getting more attention in the news right now than Donald Trump. So what do? You capitalize off of either the hate or the love for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You capitalize. If you're CNN, NBC, CBS, most news stations nowadays, you're going to pump out whichever story is the most detrimental and whichever headline is the most negative towards Donald Trump. And if you're Fox News, you kind of have a career, you kind of have a business of responding to that, and you are the opposition voice. And this has created such a divide in this country that we are the way we are now. And we don't look the same as when 9/11 happened, where we don't all look like Americans together.
Yeah, for sure. I heard someone talking about the news and this kind of stuff. It's crazy how they can just control how we think too.
Right.
They can pump out all these like negative and like crazy things, like you said, about Donald Trump and all this stuff. But there's all these huge other things that are happening to the other side that they're not even talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even like putting it out. They're not making newspapers. They're not doing anything about it because they're trying to keep it hidden. They're trying to hide these things that instead, because they're trying to pump out all this mm-hmm. stuff that brings out negativity and like, so they can just control the press.
Mm-hmm.
So it like changes how we think and like how we act throughout day to day too.
I mean, don't you think it's almost a scary reality that we live in when stories that are very important and can sway elections aren't even being aired?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the Hunter Biden story during the 2020 election was suppressed on Twitter. This is true. If you can take this to the bank. The Hunter Biden laptop story was censored on Twitter when it was Twitter, not it's X now.
Yeah.
It was censored on Twitter and news stations were not airing it. And it showed that about 10% of people that voted for Biden would have changed their mind had they heard the laptop story, which sways the election. Now, I'm not going to say anything about election fraud, the election fraud that Donald Trump claimed, but I'm going to say that that is a very real way that elections can be stolen in the media.
Yeah. It's crazy how fast it changes too. Like, some cool thing that I heard was it takes your whole life to build your reputation, but it takes 1 minute to take it away.
Yeah. So
it's crazy how like you can be building your life in all the right ways. That's also why as Christians, we need to be careful what we do
mm-hmm.
because other people are looking in on our lives as Christians and being like, oh, they're Christians and they act this way. That mm-hmm. means that they're not truly living with God, or mm-hmm. like maybe I don't want to do that because they're still doing that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's super hard to like it's a huge responsibility, but it's like in the end, it's going to be a crazy blessing to be with God and like live in heaven.
Right.
So it would definitely be worth it. But like, it's hard to like walk the Christian walk because it's like there's so many eyes looking in on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's super easy just to like forget about that too.
A lot of people want to judge when they haven't really heard the real message of the gospel. They haven't heard the stories about Mary Magdalene or the people Jesus healed and the people Jesus invited to go walk with him. So they kind of have this hoity-toity view of how perfect Christians behave, so they're going to be a lot more critical on them when they make mistakes.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And as Christians, what we need to do is we need to stop holding people to this incredibly high standard. I mean, if you're a pastor of a church, you're going to need to be held at a higher standard than somebody that's new to your congregation. That's true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, once we realize that only God can be held to the perfect standard, we love people and we get along with people a lot more. Those who aren't Christians, they have a tendency to sometimes get a little bit more ticked off mm-hmm. at people. And if somebody does something that they don't like, then it can affect them in a big way. And they could, you know, start talking ill about this person. And those Christians who really understand that we're all imperfect, they can be friends with anybody.
Yeah. It's crazy to think sometimes that, like your pastor and stuff, sometimes you hold them to a standard that they're like this perfect Christian that they never struggled. But usually they've gone through so many struggles to get to that spot that they're at. They've gone through so many struggles and so many like different times that they've just like not been doing well to get to that position that they have wisdom through all those situations. So it's super important to go to those people and ask for wisdom too, because mm-hmm. they've normally gone through a lot of the same struggles.
Right. Like a very big, great role model in both Spencer and I's lives has been through a lot. And so he has great amount of wisdom that comes from it. You can find people like that. Those people that, you know, as you said,
yeah,
those people that seem like they have a lot of wisdom, like they have a lot of experience that you're going to go to and you can trust. A lot of those people have been through the same things that you have been through. Where you start is not where you end. In the process, the road that you're on right now, even if it is super bumpy, where you are at the very, very end of it depends on how bitter you are about the negative and the evil things that are done to you in your life, whatever tragedies happen, and how close you get with God. Because if you're close with God and you try your very, very best to not be bitter about whatever has happened in your life, you'll come out of this so much stronger.
Yeah, that's super important too. do is follow God as soon as possible too. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many people that are older and lived their whole life without God.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing that they found him later in life, but it's super important to find him when you're young, because then you can live through your college, your buying a house, getting married, and you can trust God through those times to get you through it. Mm-hmm. And that you know, it's like 100% right because he has given it to you. Mm-hmm. He has blessed you with those things too.
Mm-hmm. God is a big blesser, and truth be told, we don't deserve any of the blessings we get. God is a gracious and giving God. God gives according to his riches. God commands us to give according to our riches as well. Now, yeah, we might not know what that means. There's no real definition. There's no real extra context in the Bible where it says that. So it can be kind of confusing, and it means something different to a lot of different people that read it. But God will bless you and give to you according to what he has, and he has an infinite amount. So what are you doing not trusting God with your life? God will provide for you. When he gives according to his riches, there's no limit to the magic. I shouldn't say magic, because, you know, yeah, book of Leviticus. But what God will do in your life is so much more substantial than you could ever be given in a secular world.
Yeah, for sure. And also kind of adding to that is we have nothing to give God that he doesn't have already.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that we can do is give him our time. Mm-hmm. We can, like, read the Bible and just pray to him. That's all he wants. He wants us to be in a relationship. He wants us to care. Mm. Wants us to love him too. So that he can be a father to us. He can go back for that one lamb and, like, lead them to him. He cares for you so much that he will go and get that one lamb and leave the 99 others.
True. Think about it. God does not need us. We cannot be arrogant and say that we have anything to provide to God, because we don't. God gives to us because he loves us, because he wants a relationship with us. And yeah, if anybody is listening today that is not saved, God wants a relationship with you.
Yeah, for sure. And it's hard to look over too, because it's super easy looking around and people around you in daily life that they just need God, and they need that truth. They need that hope, because our society is very, like, looking for something. You can tell.
We're all searching for something to fill the hole that we have.
Yeah, for sure. It's super easy just to, like, fall into daily life. I've said this a million times, but it's so easy just fall into the world, fall into daily life where you're just doing all the same things, routines. But if you don't give him time, there's no way of you getting a strong relationship too.
I mean, think about it. You said it perfectly. And it reminds me of the movie Jesus Revolution, when Lonnie Frisbee tells Pastor Chuck Smith, the world and these people that are changing, and they're chasing drugs, they're taking LSD, they're anti-war. I mean, we should all be anti-war, but, you know, I'm talking about the hippie movement, which grew during the 60s. Lonnie Frisbee knew that these people want something. They're in search for something.
Yeah.
And when you provide Jesus the right way and you preach the real gospel, you're able to fill the hole in many people's lives. And that is needed today with this new kind of hippie movement that we have today. The movement now is far more detrimental to humans with the movement we have going on rather than hippies. I mean, we've got people that are mutilating their bodies because they don't believe that they were created in the image of God. Sure. They need to know that they were created in the image of God. So if you really care about these people, stop telling them what they're doing is okay. If somebody's running into a burning building, you would not tell them to keep running that way. You give them a warning.
Okay? Yeah, for sure. It's super important. Just care for those around you. Even though if you don't really, like, know them, just, like, make sure that they know the truth. I mean, it's so hard to, like, just go out and talk about your faith, because sometimes we're not on fire for God too.
Right.
So it's super hard to, like, just go out there, and I would say go in a group of friends that are Christians too, mm-hmm, to take steps to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I need to go out too to talk more about Christ, but I also think this podcast is a super blessing.
Yeah. We're doing, like, it in our own way.
Yeah.
Right. Street preachers, I respect those people. Like, they're the people in life that I feel like I respect some of the most. Like,
yeah,
they're great, great, great people. They have a level of bravery that most Christians will never, ever have, because it's hard to go on the streets. Like, Ray Comfort, legend, great evangelist, goes and he goes up to people individually in the streets and he asks them, you know, if they think they're going to heaven, and they say, yeah, because I'm a good person, and he'll judge them based off the Ten Commandments. I recommend watching his videos. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so he has a great way of converting people to Christianity and teaching them about the real Jesus. And there's times where he's in public and he's getting mobbed. Like, there's people coming up around him and, like, he's getting smacked and spit on in the middle of public. So, you know, people like that, they kind of just, they know that their mission on this earth, God's purpose, is for them to go and be in very uncomfortable places, be in places where the Bible, Jesus, is not too popular, you know, very secular, very worldly places, places that are kind of like Babylon was, you know.
Yeah.
We're seeing that more and more in the West, and they don't even care. They're like, I got a mission. God put me on earth for this reason. I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. I don't even care if I get judged, look weird, get made fun of, or all that. They're great, great people like that. They're genuine people.
Yeah. It's super hard to, like, be out and, like be in your faith and, like, give glory to God through all that, because it's scary being out in the normal world. It's scary, like, thinking what other people think, or, like, sometimes it's more just the biggest enemy is our own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're, like, saying all these bad things about ourselves because we're, like, scared of what we think they're saying. But, like when I see someone out there, like, doing that, I'm also a Christian, but, like, I, like, see them proclaiming God or, like, saying all this stuff, I think it's, like, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have a different mindset of it because, like, I follow that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I still think it's, like, super cool that they're doing that and, like, being out in their faith. And, like, because it's so easy just, like, hide in your hole and, like, live your life and and live your faith. But, like, the biggest thing is, like, as Christians, we're supposed to go out.
Right.
We're supposed to, like, go and make heaven full. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite, like, when people put in their Instagram, like their description. Mm-hmm. It says, like, make heaven full.
I just
like, I really like that because it's, like, it's kind of cool to think of that. Like, I want it to be as full as possible.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, one of the sad realities is, the truth is, hell will never be full. It's sad. It wasn't even made for humans.
Yeah. Like,
God wanted us to be in heaven with him forever.
Yeah, it's such a blessing, too. Like, I mean, without his resurrection, too, we have no chance. Mm-hmm. We have no chance to be with him, and that just shows how much he cares for us too.
Right. God cares about us, but God, more importantly, wants us to pray for others. I struggle with this a lot, and specifically it's with praying with those that I don't know, mainly those in power. I have a tendency to really criticize, and a lot of Christians do, we criticize the Democratic government and the liberals that are pushing for, they're pushing the LGBTQ agenda, they're pushing transgenderism, and they're pushing nonsense and evil satanic books that are being read in school, things like that. And we have a tendency to just criticize, and we forget that we should really be praying for them. We should pray for their salvation and their change. I should be praying. We should be praying for those above us. As, you know, you told me about that Bible verse, we should be praying for those above us and praying for those like Joe Biden, who's in power. And I know it's very, very easy to criticize because we're seeing evil done right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
We need to focus on prayer for them.
The hard thing that I struggle with is praying for those like in power, like you kind of were saying, like in the government, but also like famous people.
Right.
So it's like, it's hard for me to like pray for them and think like of them as actual people, because you just see them through a screen, or I mean you see them wherever, but it's like I need to pray for those people because those people have such a big stage and such a big impact on all those people that they can reach out to. They have millions of followers, they have all these things. So if I'm praying for them, I mean, God's plan is the best plan, so it might not happen, but at least I'm trying to like have them change their life, because prayer is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super important just to like pray for those so that they can just spread the word. Because if they change their life, maybe it will make a domino effect and change the life of many.
If there's anything that we want you to get from this podcast and take it into the rest of this week or the next week, it is pray for others. Pray for those you don't normally pray for. Pray for those you criticize, because you can turn that criticism into asking for God to bless them with things. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those in power. Pray for those who do evil to find salvation. That is the overall message for this episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's a super hard thing to do, too, because usually it's hard to pray for your enemies and pray for those who you don't normally think of. Mm-hmm. But those are the people that need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
They need the prayer. They need the care. They need all this stuff
mm-hmm.
from you because you're giving effort towards them. And
right.
It's just a super big blessing if you're reaching out to those who you don't normally like or like have like beef with, because it's super easy just stay in your own lane and mm-hmm. like totally forget about
to them not go too. Out of your way and to stay in your comfortable little bubble.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to kind of wrap this up as we do in every single episode, you tell me you're on day 80 now.
Day 80, correct.
Day 80. Yeah. How's it going? What are we reading in the Bible?
It's going really good. I'm in Deuteronomy and kind of like a little bit of John and Psalms too.
Mm.
So it's kind of like jumps around a little bit, but I actually kind of like it because it's like you never get bored of a book because it's super easy with like Numbers and Leviticus.
Right.
Very hard books to read because they're just like super slow and like, you know, you read the whole book
right.
or the whole Bible.
Very rich history though.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the importance is the history and the learning about the law and why we needed Jesus to come in and be the perfect sacrifice for our sin.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's such a good blessing though, like reading and having your daily bread. That's why they call it that, so that you can wake up in the morning and get that daily bread so mm-hmm. you can live your whole day with the Bible and his wisdom flowing through your head so that you can like think of, like for me, I think of like, I mean, I'm wearing a bracelet that said what, or that says, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of that as like how he acts through the day. Am I doing a good job of acting and like caring for others around me? Cause it's super easy just not think about others. Like we were just saying,
right.
But it's very important that you just do so. So
it's perfect. Perfect way to end it. And our challenge for everybody that listens to this, not many people, but it can be if you just tell somebody about this podcast.
For sure. Stand tell on a street friend. Corner, for goodness sake.
Be the crazy person that stands on the corner of a street with a sign, like those crazy people sometimes say the world's coming to an end, and tell them to listen to this podcast.
Well, we'll catch you guys next time, next week probably, for episode 7, and it was a good time. So,
all right. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you all next time.